part of what my sermon today is godly glory, and I didn't let my wife and him go down, so the kids go down, sorry about that, so they can be just a minute to go downstairs, and so we'll give them a minute and go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 6. And a few more verses, and I may preach them, but it'll probably be probably the last sermon in Galatians. I looked back in my notes, we started about last April, so we almost made it a year in Galatians. So, some of y'all might be saying amen, I don't know, but I've enjoyed it, and I hope you have, and I hope more than that we've learned. But godly glory, there's no shortage of people glorifying themselves these days. People want to be recognized, people want certificates, people want all these types of things now. We do a lot of, we use the word honor, recognize, achievements, and there's no shortage of man glorifying man. And we're going to look here and say, what does that have to do with our text? We'll look at verse 13 and 14, and we'll look at the last part of verse 13. It says, that they may glory in your flesh. In verse 14, it said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ, of Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I unto the world. In verse 14, we see that Paul, in condemning glory, glorifying, but we also see him endorsing it. I mean, if you look at verse 14, I'm going to read it in the ESV. I like the way it reads. It says, far be it for me to boast except in the cross of Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 14, we learn that glory is both acceptable and unacceptable. Okay, we learn that there is a godly glory, but also an ungodly glory. For us to learn more about glory, we need to define what glory means. Glory simply means to boast, to brag, or to rejoice in. It can mean to vaunt. It can be to boast. And once again, like I said a minute ago, we don't use the word glory these days, but when I say the word brag or boast, we know exactly what that is. And I think now when I say that there's no shortage of people bragging on themselves or bragging on other people, and what I see a lot of, I've been guilty of it, we may not brag on ourselves, but we love to brag on our family members, don't we? My love is if someone in my family achieves something, I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. But really, once again, what is that though? That's bragging and boasting. We love, we start off as kids, getting trophies and all of this, and recognizing us. So that's what we're going to look at. So there's no shortage of boasting and bragging. The problem is it the right type of bragging? And that's what we're going to talk about. Because this word in the Greek, glory, it can be used in a bad sense, or in good sense. How do we know? Then here's the question. How do we know when it's right or when it's wrong? Well, John MacArthur says this. The Greek term carries the basic meaning of praise, and whether it represents sin or a virtue depends on whether self or God is being praised. The answer is godly glory takes place when the object of your praise and boasting is God. Ungodly glory takes place when the object of your praise and boasting is you or another person. Okay, I want you to understand that. So now we just go home, right, Miss Janet? I just defined what it was, right? We go home. No, not just quite. Not quite. This is a very simple concept to understand, but it's much harder to practice. And it's much harder to practice. Because there is a problem with glory. That's my first point there. Number one, the problem with glory. Letter A here, and here's the problem. Man desires glory. Okay, I want you to understand that. I want you to know right now, that's why when I was I was in seventh grade. Sports career. Seventh grade, I played senior peewee football. You can play peewee football, that's what it's called, where we're at, in seventh grade. Okay, so I played linebacker. I'm pretty good. I caught a guy that no one else can catch. And he drugged me about 30 yards. For real. But I didn't let go. I mean, you know, I wasn't big, but I was, you know, fairly tough. We had a banquet. They gave out trophies. I probably still got it somewhere. I had no problem walking up there and getting that trophy. You know why? Because man desires glory. Man desires to be recognized. Man desires to be seen. And that is the problem, that we desire glory. You say, well, where do you get that? Look at verse 13. I'm going to read the whole thing this time. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that you may be that they may glory in your flesh. So remember the context for the last year almost, is that Judaizers had infiltrated the church, went with predominantly Gentile. And they were trying to teach and did and weren't successful because, you know, he said in chapter 3, verse 1, that, oh, Galatians, who have bewitched you, that you had to be circumcised to be saved, and that you had to follow the law of, you know, you're still under the law. We know you're not under the law, you know, we're under grace, okay? But we've already preached all that. But that's what they came in, and they said, this is what you have to do, and that they even constrained them, and we learned that last week in verse 12, said they constrained you to be circumcised, okay? So, but why? Why? Because it says in verse 13 that they may glory. They, these Judaizers that infiltrated the church, they wanted to glorify themselves. They wanted to boast. They wanted to brag. And it says here, the next thing it says here in that verse, it says that they may glory in your flesh. They wanted to go back to the Jews who had not been a part of the church and say, look what we did. We converted these people to Judaism. Look what, not what God did, but what I did. They desired glory. Man desires glory isn't limited to this one incident. Throughout Scripture, we see this. Let me read a few verses here. And you just listen. It says 2 Corinthians 11:18. Seeing that many glory after the flesh. Philippians 3:3, it says this. For we are a circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The word glory also can mean the idea of confidence. And so he said, don't have confidence in the flesh. Why did he say that? Because people were doing that. Jeremiah 9:23. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. If that don't describe the world today, everybody's too smart, too wise, and too rich for God these days. Even in the church. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, says this, charity vaunteth not itself. Why did he say that? Because we have a desire, like I said, man desires, we have a desire to glory in ourselves. We have a desire to vaunt and to push ourselves up. I thought about a couple of examples. 1 Samuel chapter 18, this is David and Saul. When Saul was still king, it said the women answered one another and they played and said, Saul has slain his 1,000 and David his 10,000. And Saul was very wroth. And wasn't enough. I mean, Brother Mark, I just love somebody to sing about me in a good way. You know what I mean? You know? I mean, Saul, I mean, they were singing about Saul. But it wasn't enough. He said, it displeased him. They have ascribed unto David 10,000 and to me they have only ascribed 1,000. another example of man desiring glory in Genesis 11:4. And then he said, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let this next phrase, and let us make us a name. That's not us today. I don't know what it is. We want to build a name for ourselves. And what we see a lot, we want our kids to make a name for themselves. We want our grandkids to make a name for ourselves. We don't, you know, it's not about God anymore. It's about us and our family. Oh, we want them to make it. We want them to have a name. We want them to be important. We want them, when they walk around, to have the spotlight and for somebody to know them and brag on them. The problem with glory is that man wants glory. We want to be lifted up. We want to be bragged on. We want to make a name for ourselves. We want to be told how great we are. Think about it. I'm talking about myself just as much as I am anyone else. But that's why I'm saying it, because I know this. We take compliments pretty well, don't we? But do we take criticism very well? No. We don't like to be told that we're wrong or that we did something wrong. I'm that way. Maybe you're not, but I am. Why? Because we naturally desire glory. That's the problem with it. But let's build on that. Letter B is this. Glory belongs to God. See, that's the problem with glory. Man desires glory, but here's the problem. Glory belongs to God. I'm going to read some more verses. And I want to get this across. Luke 2:13-14. And it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heaven hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. That's not the church's motto today. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Paul said, whatever therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Philippians 2:11. And then every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. 1 Chronicles 29:11. O Lord, is thy greatness and power and thy glory. O Lord, thou art exalted as head above all. Revelation 4. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. Revelation 5:13-14. I'm kind of just giving bits and pieces here. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him. Revelation 7:11-12. And all the angels stood around the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Here's what I want you to understand. We're building on this, so glory belongs to God. Glory belongs to God, not us. Not us. You, me, we probably all struggle with this more than we like to admit. I would put this when I say the acceptable sins of the church. There's a lot of them. It's one of them. We have no problem not giving glory to God. I mean, we don't even think about it. We all want glory for ourselves and for our families more than we realize. I mean, and I'm going to offend some of y'all because you're going to take it the wrong way. And I wrote down, we like to give out We like to honor people who read the Bible. You know, sometimes, you know, historically we've done this as churches. And we like to give out certificates for people who read the Bible in a year. Sometimes we give out in perfect attendance. We like to recognize the oldest mom and the youngest mom and the mom with the most children. We like to recognize dads and the same thing with them. We like to honor graduates. We have no problem getting people to stand up for that, do we? Brother Mike, just ask, hey, somebody want to brag on God? One person. And I'm going to go, and I'm not mad, so please don't, because I'm preaching right now, okay? So I'm not really mad. But I did this a couple of Thanksgivings ago. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not a sensitive, feely person. I don't like crying and all that. It makes me uncomfortable. And so testimony services are not my thing. My wife kind of said, you ought to do a testimony. You ought to. I said, so I did. I said, hey, would anyone like to say something? None of y'all said anything. Me and my wife joke about it now. And I said, never again will I do that. It was very awkward for me. But if I said, but the same, some of y'all who won't stand up, if I said, okay now, who's had perfect attendance? Or who's got the most kids with you? When you standing up so fast? You say. And so what y'all would take this is I don't like mothers or dads. No, that's not it at all. My point is, and I'm not only saying that it's necessarily wrong, I'm saying we have no problem getting honored for ourselves, right? We have no problem being recognized. But it seems like we're all shy when it's time to recognize God. Why? There's a problem. There's a problem. And once again, I mean, and I think that's, I mean, personally, I think sometimes it's sad that the church does that. We recognize everyone. We you know, that's really not what church is about. You do know that, right? That's going to make some of you mad, I know, and that's fine. Church is not about recognizing you. Being a Christian is not about you. It's about God. Once again, even my preaching is not about me. Once again, the best compliment you can give me, if it's true, is not about the great sermon, but if you say, God spoke to me. Because why? Because that's what it's supposed to be about. Now don't get me wrong, I like the other ones. But that's not what it's about. I would say that we probably all struggle with glory more than we realize. We see the problem with glory. Now let's look at number two. And it's only a two-pointer today, so don't have to worry. We don't have 3 points. The process of godly glory. So now the question, now that we know the problem and that we all struggle with this, let's look at the process on how to overcome them and have godly glory. Because Paul definitely said, here, I'll glory in a certain way. So how is this? Well, let's look here at the first step. Letter A here is the first thing you got to do, and you have to reject glory for yourself. Look at verse 14. But God forbid, well, let's go back to verse 13 again, that they may glory in your flesh, okay? Verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory. The ideal of the word, the ideal forbid is a strong negative that carries the ideal of virtually impossible. It can be translated, may it never be for me to glory. And he said, but far be for me to glory. Now let's be honest, is that our mindset of glory and recognition? Let's be honest. Even appreciation. When you do something that deserves recognizing, what's your mindset? Is it that I hope no one says anything? I hope no one says anything. Because I don't want the recognition. Or are you sitting there saying, I did that and no one ever said anything about it. I preached a good sermon, no one said anything about it. What's your attitude? Now, once again, I understand as a leader, people who do stuff, I want to appreciate and they should. But on our end, when we do something, what's your attitude? Is it that, well, no one saw me do that? Or no one recognized me? Paul said, here, Paul's attitude was that it may never be for me to glory. And what does it say, brag? Or to be honored, or to be recognized? The verb, also let me say this, the verb, I didn't know this, I read behind someone, the verb is expressed in a way that indicates a strong desire and a wish and prayer. Let me ask you, I feel like this. Do you pray that you won't receive glory? Man, that's pretty strong. Now, Paul was so, I guess, in tune with God and so not about himself. Now, it carried the idea that Paul, when he prayed at night, he didn't pray for everyone's ailments and all the things wrong with him. He prayed that he wouldn't receive glory yet that God would. He had the mindset of John the Baptist. I must decrease, he must increase. But I'm afraid in the churches, we're spending more time making sure that people in the church and the pastor increase instead of decrease. That was Paul's attitude. That was Paul's wish. That was Paul's prayer. Is that yours? Let me ask you this morning, what is your attitude about yourself? Paul here prayed not to be glorified. Paul prayed not to be recognized. Paul prayed not to be praised. What's your deepest desire? And truth is, I'm going to be honest with you. We probably all struggle with this. And that's what I'm going to say. Like, I'm not here. Like, you know, we all probably struggle with this. What do we do? We reject it. We have to retrain ourselves. We have to reject that. We have to reject that mindset. Because here's that we all struggle with that. We have to reject that kind of attitude. We must reject glory for ourselves. Number letter B, we must redirect glory to God. Let's look here at verse 14 again. And God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul claimed that the only boasting, the only glorying, the only recognizing and the honor that he would do would be because of the cross. Robert Pickerill said this, Paul set forth the true object of a Christian's glory, the cross of Christ. Not yourself, not your kids, not your grandkids, not your parents, but Christ. The cross of Christ. In other words, Paul said, I would boast in what God had done, not what he had done. You know someone who got this? Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph in Genesis? He accomplished a lot. I mean, he was number two on the throne. Even as a Christian, I mean, he had endured a lot. You know, let's just for a minute say I could do like Joseph, Miss Janet. Let's say I could endure and I was good and God was with me. And it'd be all good until I came second in command. Then I thought, well, look at what all I'm doing. Look how much I had to endure. Oh, God, use me because I did it the right way. I mean, I would, and especially when my brothers showed up, I definitely would let them know how much I had to endure. I definitely would have wanted, I would want to be recognized. I'd want them to know I'd have had a piece of paper. And I'd have wrote down everything that they had done. Oh, now I had to endure because of what I was saying. All right, before I forgive you, all right, I had to sleep on the floor with no pillow. Had to eat beans. I went without food for 7 days. I'd have wanted the recognition. I'd have wanted all the glory and honor and all of this. But that what Joseph did? Let me tell you what Joseph did. Genesis 45:5 says, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve. Verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me, but God. I mean, Joseph could have said, look what I had to endure for me to be used by God. Not Joseph. Many of our problem is that we're fighting for people to see what we have done. That's glory. Not Joseph, not Paul. What did they do? They redirected to praise to God. Now, I mean, Joseph may have had a weak moment at some point in his life. I don't know, but in the scripture, we see that when they came to him, he didn't say, "Hey, this is what I had to do." No, God did this. God did this. God's the one to get the credit. I mean, I would have held it over their hand and said, "Look, you wouldn't be alive right now if it weren't for me." Not Joseph. Joseph said, "You wouldn't be alive right now if it weren't for God." He redirected the glory. You know why? Because he remembered what God is doing. Let me read what Robert Pickerly said. When one has proper regard for the work of Christ, he has no regard for his own works. Now, I'm going to kind of bring that back later. I'm going to read that again because it's good. When one has proper regard for the work of Christ, he has no regard for his own works. You know, when you feel mistreated, when you don't feel like you're being recognized, think about how God, I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm going to say it now. Think about what God did. If you have to sacrifice a little bit and you don't get recognized, think about what Christ did. You start thinking about that. You don't hold a candle to anything you're doing. We will redirect God's glory when we remember why God deserves glory. And that's letter C in the process here. And first, we have to reject glory for yourselves, okay? Number two, you have to redirect God's glory to God. And but how are we going to do that? Letter C, remember why God deserves glory. Okay? Now, first of all, I want you to know this is his deity. Okay, I'm not going to preach this, but I'm just going to say his deity, who God is. Before you get any further, the fact that God is God, that's why. Don't you understand that? God deserves glory because God is God. That's it. I mean, we even do that today. You know, people hold a certain position. We show them honor and respect because of who they are, what position they hold. But because of his death, what God is doing. And you'll see here, let's look here. And verse 14, it says here, "Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Here's the thing, his death, what God has done, because Jesus died, and because he resurrected, he freed us from this world. Okay, that's what it talked about. It said being crucified to the world. The world is a statement to everything outside of Christ. When men seek to put glory in and trust. The world's system is hopeless and bound to hell. The cross of Christ freed Paul and anyone who believes in Jesus from that. I wonder, that's what Paul's saying. Paul said, I'm going to glory in the cross. Because the cross is what crucified me to the world. It freed me from the hopeless, utter destruction of hell. He said, that's why. So what is he doing? What is Paul doing? He's remembering and he's telling these people in Galatians why God deserves the glory. He's saying, look, he died on the cross for where we could be free. And I didn't put it in my notes, but if you see there, I did study it out, but I'm not going to preach it. He said, "I unto the world." That's a statement that if you're a Christian, you'll live like a Christian. Not only in the world, not only are you dead to the world dead to you. Okay, and I'm not going down that road today. I'm not going to chase that rabbit. It's a good rabbit, but we're not going to chase it today. Okay, like I said all the time, you know, if you're a Christian, you're going to live like it. Okay, anyway, but that's a whole nother sermon. But anyway, so what else? The first reason Paul gives for glory in the cross is that it's power to free him from the bondage of the world system of evil. That's what his death did. You know what his death did? It did what the flesh couldn't. Look at the next verse. Verse 15. Well, again, the context dictates everything. Why is he talking about circumcision? Because that's what these Judaizers were saying will save them. And then what he said, in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. What is he saying? He's saying, and only in Jesus Christ can you become that new creature. Not in circumcision. Not in what you can do. You can't go to church enough. You can't read your Bible enough. You can't be a good person enough to be saved. And Paul, what Paul is doing, he's remembering why God deserves the glory. Because only God can make you and me, if we trust in Jesus Christ, make us a new creature. He is the only one that can make us an acceptable unto God. Only God. Nothing else. No ritual. Paul glory, by the way, we can talk about that all day too. Them two things go together, a new creature and everything. Paul gloried in the cross because it had the power to do what the flesh couldn't. Save us. Paul gave God the glory because Paul remembered why God deserved the glory. Joseph gave God the glory because Joseph remembered why God deserved the glory. We will give glory to God when we remember what God has done and is doing. Anytime you feel like you're not being recognized, appreciated, not getting the credit, just remember that God deserves our 24/7 praise, which we don't give all the time. So stop thinking about yourself. Stop being a hypocrite and getting upset when you're not praised because God doesn't get near enough. Think about it. See, that's the key in rejecting glory. Was that, let me see if I can find it. Give me a moment here. Because I'm going to go back to this. When one has proper regard for the work of Christ, he has no regard for his own. So the next time you go, well, they didn't recognize me. I did a lot of work too. Maybe you did. Maybe you really did. You know how you feel when that happens? I wonder how God feels then. And say you work really hard for 5 days on a project, and you do a good job, and no one recognizes you. You know how it makes you feel? When the last time you recognized God? Privately or publicly. I mean, I don't like to say things like this, but I mean, like, I wonder how God feels. He might feel the way you feel. He might feel the way you feel. Because let me tell you, what he did was perfect. There is no greater sacrifice than what he did. He gave his only son, who didn't die a simple death. He was crucified on the cross. So let me read that statement again. When one has proper regard for the work of Christ, he has no regard for his own work. That way, when you sacrifice and you don't get recognized or glorified, it's no big deal because you'll stop and say, you know what? This is nothing compared to what God's doing. I think that's what Paul understood. I think that's what Joseph, that list I said that Joseph would have, I would have made, Joseph probably looked at that list and said, and he looked at Christ and said, my list is nothing compared to what he did. And he stopped right then and said, I'm going to quit thinking about myself and I'm going to start glorifying God. That is the process of godly glory. I'm going to read it again because you need to write it down. No one, Robert Pickerel is the one that wrote it. When one had proper regard for the work of Christ, he had no regard for his own work. The problem, and we've started looking at ourselves so much, we think we need something, and we've forgotten about God. And then we get our feelings hurt when we don't get recognized, when we're a hypocrite, because we're supposed to be thinking about all that Christ is doing. The problem is we are focused on what we have done rather than remembering what God has done and is doing. When you remember that, then you will reject praise and redirect it to God. No one has done, sacrificed anything compared to what God is doing. Like I said, I'll say it again. I've got it in my notes. You know how it feels not to be recognized and honored? And I wonder how God feels every day then. And you know the problem though is that we don't even see that. We came to church today, because we brought our Bible, because, we go home and say, well, God is so happy with me. But let me tell you what they didn't do at church. They didn't recognize me. But the whole time, you're not recognizing God. And God's thinking, I don't know what God's thinking. He's a lot greater than me. But I just wonder if he's like, you're missing it. Oh yeah, you're doing some good things. Yeah, you're not doing any sin, and that's great. But you're missing this. Was it why I call it an acceptable sin of the church? I mean, how many times, I'll say this, I prayed for God to do something, little things, and he'd do them. And then I forget and I praise him. Anyone else like that? Why? Because we're stuck on ourselves. We're stuck on ourselves. That's why you get upset at church and at work and all that, because you're stuck on yourself. That's really what it is. You're stuck on yourself. Oh man, we can grasp what God does. We'd be in a good mood if we get this complete. And I know we're human, so all that, but if we could really get a true grasp of what God has done for us, we'd have a good day every day. What Brother Mike said and sang about and all that really went perfect, because that's really the heart of this message. We can really get a grasp of that. When you say, well, no one thinks about me. Somebody did. God did. God did. Christ thought about you. No one didn't think about you. He died for you. As we conclude here, and we're done. The problem is we desire glory, but it belongs to God. It don't belong to you. It don't belong to your kid. It don't belong to your grandkid. It don't belong to my mom. It don't belong to my dad. It don't belong to me. It don't belong to any of us. It belongs to God. Oh, but wait until someone does something significant. Are you gonna call them up? I'm like, well, I mean, I guess I can. Because if you don't, it'll make you mad, and you might not show up next week. But I'm thinking to myself, that's really not what we're here for. And I know some of y'all are going to go home and be upset about that, but it's true. We're not here to pray people up here. You know, we're not here to pray people up here. We're here to open this right here. I know that's unpopular. I see the frowns. But we're here to open this and say, thus saith the Lord. And then say, oh God, thank you for what you've done. That's really what we're here for. But that's not popular. If I were to put that into practice, I probably wouldn't be here very long. That's how bad we are, because if I said, we're not gonna recognize anybody, go churches for recognizing God, y'all would be mad at me. And maybe I'd have a meeting with the board. I'm saying it like it is. It's true. Well, don't you think? And I'm not saying anything really wrong with it, but you should not see the mindset. Brother Mike, you not see the mindset of people get like, I don't like that. Well, but it's the truth. Glory belongs to God, not to us. Let's forget about the small accomplishments and sacrifices that we've done and remember the ultimate sacrifice that God has done and glorify Him. That is when we'll have godly glory. As the piano players come up to play, and you stand to your feet with your heads bowed and eyes closed just out of respect. I mean, anyway, I don't do that every Sunday, but I would ask you, if you're like me, anyone say, you know what, I've never thought about that before. Anyone raise your hand? Anyone raise your hand? But I've never thought about glory like that. I see a couple of hands. Thank you. I'm that way. I mean, so many times I have a pity party for myself when the problem is that I'm not focused on myself. I'm not focused on what God's doing. If they begin to play, if God spoke to you, I want to encourage you to come to the altar.